The Virtual CISO Moment is brought to you by vCISO Services, a leading provider of quality and experienced virtual chief information security officers for small and mid-sized businesses. Check them out at vcisoservices.com.
Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the Virtual CISO Moments Information Security Wrap-Up for Friday, March 10th. 2023, getting ahead of myself there. Starting out today, the Transportation Security Administration, or the TSA, issued a new cybersecurity amendment on an emergency basis to the security programs of certain TSA-regulated airport and aircraft operators following similar measures announced in October of 2022 for passenger and freight railroad carriers. Now, apparently, this is part of the Department of Homeland Security's efforts to increase the cybersecurity resilience of U.S. critical infrastructure. Follows extensive collaboration with aviation partners. Glad to see this as a pilot, albeit non-practicing myself. I haven't logged any flight hours in probably about 13 years. Might get back to that sooner or later. TSA is taking this emergency action because of persistent cybersecurity threats against U.S. critical infrastructure, including the aviation sector. The new emergency amendment requires that impacted TSA-regulated entities develop an approved implementation plan that describes measures they are taking to improve their cybersecurity resilience and prevent disruption and degradation to their infrastructure. They must also proactively assess the effectiveness of these measures, which include the following actions. Number one, develop network segmentation policies and controls to ensure that operational technology systems can continue to safely operate in the event that an information technology system has been compromised and vice versa. Well, network segmentation is kind of like basic security 101. I would hope that they were actually doing that already. Create access control measures to secure and prevent unauthorized access to critical cyber systems. See my comment for the first bullet. Implement continuous monitoring and detection policies and procedures to defend against, detect, and respond to cybersecurity threats and anomalies that affect critical cyber system operations. Again, reference my comment, first bullet. Reduce the risk of exploitation of unpatched systems through the application of security patches and updates for operating systems, applications, drivers, and firmware on critical cyber systems in a timely manner using a risk-based methodology. Well, that's a little bit of a disappointment towards the end, that those are all things that they should be doing now. Would you not agree? And if they're not, is there not some sort of a audit-type system feedback to ensure that they are? Sonic wall devices are infected by malware that survives firmware upgrades. That's always a little bit annoying. A suspected Chinese hacking campaign has been targeting unpatched Sonic Wall Secure Mobile Access, or SMA, appliances to install custom malware that establishes long-term persistence for the cyber espionage campaigns. This comes to us from Bleeping Computer. The deployed malware is customized for Sonic Wall devices and is used to steal user credentials, provide shell access to the attackers, and even persist through firmware upgrades. Now, the campaign was discovered by Mandiant and SonicWall's PSIRT team, P-S-I-R-T, who tracked the actor behind it as UNC-4540, likely to be of Chinese origin. Mandiant says that there are signs that the malware was installed on the examined systems all the way back to 2021 and persisted through multiple subsequent firmware updates on the appliance. Not good. The threat actors achieved this by using scripts that offer redundancy and ensure long-term access to breached devices. System admins are advised to apply the latest security updates provided by SonicWall for SMA 100 appliances. Now, the recommended target version right now is 10.2.1.7 or higher, which includes FIM, or file integrity monitoring, and anomalous process identification, which should detect and stop this threat. From the Hacker News, an update on the LastPass hack. Seems that there's an update every week on this. Engineers' failure to update Plex software led to this massive data breach. Massive being the title from the article, not an opinion on my side here, although I may not disagree. LastPass revealed how unidentified actors leveraged information stolen from an earlier incident that took place prior to August 12th of last year, along with details available from a third-party data breach and a vulnerability in a third-party media software package to launch a coordinated attack between August and October of last year. The intrusion ultimately enabled the adversary to steal partially encrypted password vault data and customer information. We talked about that before. And the second attack specifically singled out one of the four DevOps engineers targeting their home computer with a keylogger malware to obtain the credentials and breach the cloud storage environment. And in turn, this is said to have been made possible by exploiting a nearly three-year-old now patched flaw in Plex to achieve code execution on the engineer's computer. Patch some more, patch again. If you're a small business and think you're too small to need to worry about a cyber breach, you want to listen up here. The Hackread has a good article on why businesses, it's not that long, it's a short article, but it's a good article on why businesses, including small businesses, need to focus more on cybersecurity. So if you're a small, medium-sized business owner or run such a business or are an executive management such a business, you need to pay attention, my opinion. Most companies today possess a lot of consumers' data and sensitive information on a daily basis. Therefore, not just business data is at potential risk. Moreover, it's no secret that cyber attacks are more frequent and more sophisticated than ever before. That's why you have a lot of podcasts, including this one, that talk about some of the more significant ones that seem to have come across. Hackers are no longer targeting big corporations, but small businesses and startups as well. I would opine there that this is not a new thing, that criminal hackers, have been targeting small and mid-sized businesses for some time now. Of course, a data breach can lead to the loss of sensitive customer information, which can result in financial losses and reputational damage. Not only that, but cybercriminals may be able to access confidential company information such as trade secrets, intellectual property, and consumer-sensitive information. This could not only ruin a company's reputation, but also put it out of business entirely. Furthermore, if a criminal hacker, gains access to a company's network, they may be able then to install malicious software that could cause disruption or even shut down operations completely. Now, twice in this article, I've stopped and said criminal hacker instead of hacker. I'm one of those who don't like equating the word hacker with criminal. That's two different things there. It's most of you probably would agree with me, I think. Now, one other statement in this article that I disagree with a bit. Quote, many people are deciding to opt for cybersecurity boot camps so that they can get proper education and skills that can help them with future employment. And then the article goes on to say that this has created a lot of folks in cybersecurity, so there's no excuse not to hire someone. There's a portion of me that agrees with that, a significant portion. But what I want to point out is that boot camps do not make a qualified cybersecurity analyst. Boot camps can give you the foundation. Boot camps can give you the tools, but you have to practice your trade. That's no different than being a pipe fitter or an electrician or any other trade. You have to practice it. You have to become good at it. And I think that there is a very important experience portion here that needs to be considered when looking and hiring these folks now, but that doesn't necessarily mean job experience. Build a home network, build a lab. It's easy. It's cheap. I've talked about it before. I've got a pretty sophisticated network at my house, as you might think. And same thing in my office here, security operations center, a SOC pretty much with several servers right behind me. Just build it, learn from that. You can do an awful lot in your own little lab experience. And then you can use that as experience when looking for a position. That's my opinion. Acer confirms the server intrusion after miscreants offers 160 gigabyte cache of stolen files, as reported by The Register. So Acer confirmed that someone broke into one of its servers after a criminal put it up for sale. the gigabyte, 160 gig database, what's claimed to be the manufacturer's confidential information. They said that recently detected an incident of unauthorized access to one of our document servers for repair technicians. Okay, that makes sense now. While our investigation, this from Acer, is ongoing, there's currently no indication that any consumer data was stored on that server, which is sort of like the de facto statement. You know, you have to read these kind of carefully. When they say there is no indication, well, how that doesn't indicate, I'm not saying that this is the case with Acer, don't get me wrong, but you got to read it carefully because you can say that there's no indication if you've just heard of it. Well, you know, I heard that they got stuff, but I haven't heard that any of our information's out there. So if there's no indication after a thorough investigation, you know, then that's another story. But again, they say, while our investigation is ongoing, important, there is currently important words. Now, according to a Monday post on cybercrime hangout breach forums, I don't know if I've ever hung out there, the group going by the name Kernelware, who say the various confidential stuff allegedly stolen includes, that's 160 gig, 655 directories, and 2,869 files. Now, Kernelware claimed that the stolen goods included confidential slides and presentations, staff technical manuals, Windows imaging format files, binaries, back-end infrastructure data, confidential product documents, replacement digital product keys, ISO files, Windows system deployment images, BIOS components, ROM files, and kitchen sinks. No, I just added the last one. Acer didn't respond to the register's questions about the nature of the stolen data, nor did they verify that there was leaked information. From Krebs on Security, the domain name registrar Freenom, whose free domain names have long been a draw for spammers and phishers, have stopped allowing new domain registrations. This move came after the Dutch register was sued by Meta, which alleges the company ignores abuse complaints about phishing websites while monetizing traffic to those abusive domains. Now, Freenom is the domain registry service provider for five so-called country code top-level domains, ccTLDs, because we need to have acronyms in IT and InfoSec, including CF for the Central African Republic, GA for Gabon, I think I'm pronouncing that right, GQ for Equatorial Guinea, ML for Mali, and TK for Tokelau. For a moment there, I paused because I thought ML was military, but I think that's MIL. And one of the original seven, yes, back in the day, there was only a handful of top-level domains, and I believe the number was seven. Comnet, Info, Mil. I should know the rest, but I don't. Oh, EDU, of course, would be one. Freenom has always waived the registration fees for domains in these country code domains, presumably as a way to encourage users to pay for related services. Of course, you get folks in with some free stuff, but hey, here's the stuff I really want you to look at because I want you to buy it. So like com or .net domain, one of the original seven I just talked, or two of the original seven, for which Freenom does charge a fee, of course. But those five ccTLDs are TLDs of choice for cyber criminals because they provide the free domain service and shield its customers' identity, even after being presented with evidence that the domain names are being used for illegal purposes. This is what the complaint from Meta charges. Now, Freenom has not yet responded to requests for comment, but attempts to register a domain through the company's websites as of publication time generated an error message that reads, quote, because of technical issues, the Freenom application for new registration is temporarily out of order. Please accept our apologies for this inconvenience. We are working on a solution and hope to resume operations shortly. Thank you for your understanding. Alert! Scammers pose as ChatGPT in new phishing scam. This phishing scam exploits the popularity of the AI-based ChatGPT chatbot to steal funds and harvest the personal and financial details of users. What a surprise. Now, this is from HackRead. HackRead reports the latest ChatGPT phishing scam is currently targeting users in Ireland, Australia, Germany, Denmark, and the Netherlands. And I would submit that probably beyond that as well. Now, This is from Bitdefender's Anti-Spam Labs, who reports that in this new scam, the attackers send an unsolicited email to with any of the following subject lines, at least known at this point in time. ChatGPT, new AI bot has everyone going crazy about it. Second one, ChatGPT, new AI bot has everyone in shock from it. New ChatGPT chatbot is making everyone crazy now, but it'll very soon be as mundane a tool as Google. And the last one, why is all people panic about the ChatGPT bot? I said that verbatim. The email itself offers insufficient details, and the recipient has to click on an embedded link for more information. Of course, they've hooked you. Against fish. The link leads them to a fake version of the ChatGPT chatbot, where they are asked to invest at least 250 euro and enter their banking card details, email addresses, ID credentials, and phone number. Obviously, a GDPR violation here. Then a copycat version of ChatGPT is delivered to the victim, which differs from the original chatbot as it offers a few predetermined answers to the user queries. Chatbot was accessible only through a blacklisted domain, timegaea.com. Alrighty then. Now, flipping on the other side of AI influence, because this seems to be all the rage this year, didn't see the rise of AI in too many of those 2023 predictions, by the way. Bleeping Computer reports privacy-focused search engine DuckDuckGo has launched its first beta version of Duck Assist. An AI-assisted feature that writes accurate summaries to answer user search queries. Now, Duck Assist uses OpenAI's natural language technology to generate answers to user search queries at the top of the search results page, making responses more direct than traditional search results. Okay. Contrary to other generative AI search assistants that use input from thousands of websites, Duck Assist only sources information from Wikipedia and Britannica, hoping to prevent incorrect information from being used when generating answers. This restrained approach also differentiates Duck Assist from the AI-powered summarizer that Brave Search launched last week, which sources content from news portals, making it more susceptible to false or misleading information on those cases. I didn't know about Brave having that until reading this article as well. So, bonus piece of information there. DuckDuckGo says that for the first trial period, Duck Assist will only activate on user queries for which it is limited. And for the time being, resources can provide straightforward answers. Here's a little bit of information for military veterans. They're an important community for consideration when looking to fill cybersecurity jobs. Whether they have the direct military experience with information security or possibly possess a highly desirable security clearance or ability to qualify for such, our nation's military veterans are increasingly recognized as an attractive talent candidate pool for our most critical cybersecurity roles. If you're a veteran looking for transition to cyber, check out the NIST resource that's listed in the show notes. And obviously, I can attest to that as well, too. Being a veteran myself. Thanks to Paul Keystead. He had posted this on LinkedIn earlier this week, and I really appreciate having that mentioned there. And then finally, I'm going to pivot here a little bit to our list. This one's a little bit different, and I admit I did take a little sneak peek at this one, but there's a reason for it. This list comes to us from HelpNet Security. And what it is three crucial moments when founding a cybersecurity startup. Now, some of you know that I've been producing on an ad hoc basis, short little video vignettes about my journey becoming a cybersecurity independent consultant and then building vCISO services. I'm still in the process of doing that. I am speaking on that at a couple of conferences in April, B-Sides in Nashville and the Southeast Cybersecurity Summit. I think that's the name of it in Birmingham. Hope I got that right. I don't want to end up in the wrong city. That's Birmingham, Alabama. I don't want to end up in the wrong country either. But so I have a little bit of passion about this, and I wanted to share this because I do think that there could be some interesting and helpful ideas there. So they start out by saying that with 10% of startups failing in the first year, making wise and future-proof decisions for your new cybersecurity venture is essential. I would agree with that. So which three decisions could help your cybersecurity startup on the path to success? Let's dive in. Quoting from the article, number one, establish your security credentials. Now, there's a lot out there in LinkedIn land that debates whether or not you need to have credentials to get into cybersecurity. And that's not the point of this article. For those not involved with cybersecurity, having a well-known credential is essential, if only to get your foot in the door. It is not speaking to your abilities, but when you're looking for client work, you're going out trying to procure clients for your business, you want to be able to show a high-level professional credential. Now, I personally still am in favor of the CISSP. I keep mine up to date. I consider that the gold standard. People are going to disagree with that. I understand there's been some conflict and some controversy with regards to ISC squared. I'm not going to get into that right now. But from my perspective, and also more importantly, from the perspective of people trying to engage in your business, they're going to see that as well too. So that's number one. They also talk about like CISA, CISA, and CompTIA Security Plus. Those are good certifications. The article says that these three certifications are often regarded as the industry standard. So depending on type of security startup you have, you'll likely want to broaden your expertise by earning those. Now, I guess if you're going to also do a startup that has that is focused on real technical side, then certified ethical hacker, those sorts of certifications might be appropriate. It's all about trying to sell yourself. Number two, get your marketing strategy down from the very start. Okay, I'm going to, and I haven't really talked about this too much in that series yet, and I plan to, but marketing has probably been the hardest thing that I've done as far as being a cybersecurity startup, if you will, small business owner. Marketing is hard. Marketing is it consumes more time and effort and energy than anything cyber that I do, because it's a very competitive field out there. And I don't know if I have advice for this. I think that what they're talking about in the article here is that if you can get your marketing strategy down from the very start, then that's going to help. Now, it says here, if your budget allows, try to find a marketing strategist while you're in the product development stages. Gaining their wealth of knowledge this early on can make all the difference. Now, fortunately, the other thing, though, too, that I have to emphasize here is that I actually consider myself sort of a marketing strategist, because I really understand the CISO and virtual CISO field. Even at the time when I started the business, I had worked enough to understand that I could market, although cold calling, literally calling somebody up to try to sell virtual CISO services, if you're successful at it, more power to you. I just don't think that that works. Number three, and hugely important, it's never too early to start networking. Networking is just so important. There's so many opportunities sometimes that come our way that start as a referral, whether it be from a former client or whether it be from a colleague or along those lines. And this is one of those areas where it supplements marketing. So it's the other way, I guess, to get clients. By networking as soon as possible, you're increasing your chances of success by building relationships with those who have deep industry knowledge and can provide mentoring. And these can also lead to investors if you wanted to go down that path. Certainly, as an example, LinkedIn. Through LinkedIn, I have gotten, over time, offers to want to discuss buying the business, for example. So not necessarily investors, but buying, of which obviously I have not done. But anything networking wise is you can't operate a business in a vacuum. You've got to get your name out there. And again, I talked about talking at a couple of conferences. I'm not a huge speaker. I do try to get out there in order to get the firm out there the best that I can. And the podcast, of course, is part of that as well. Anyway, so this is a pretty decent short article. I would encourage you to take a look at it. Of course, as always, it's in the show notes. And that's it for today. I just noticed looking at the banner here that apparently the Facebook feed has an issue. So I apologize if you were trying to view this on Facebook and were not able to. Apologies for that. Not really sure what was wrong with that, but I'll see if I can get it fixed. Hope you have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you on Monday for the quick strike. And until then, stay secure.